All right, welcome back. I guess y'all can hear me okay. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this, the time that we have as a family, a congregation, a body of Christ. We just pray that we can absorb it in a meaningful way that's pleasing and glorifying to you. We pray for the concentration we need to take it in and have a transformed mind from it. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we're still looking at rejection. I guess you could say we're looking at the damage it causes because when we reject, at least as people, and that's directed towards God, it has really bad and deep effects. And that those effects can affect not only our physical outlook on life, but it affects our spiritual future, right? Which is hopefully we all want everyone to be in one place and all be at least not in the lake of fire. So rejection can be a bad thing, but I wanted to just separate them into the separation that rejection causes. And we looked at the two different ways, right? We looked at the rejection at salvation, and now I wanted to see a verse that talks about the rejection of the believer in within the plan of God. We know that the Romans 6:23, or the first part of it, at least says this: for the wages of sin is death. And you could actually translate that: for the wages of sin is separation. Because that's what sin has brought into the world, is separation between us and God. It separated us from God in a relationship, and that separation has not changed. We're still born into the separation, right? And that separation here isn't just talking about a physical death, although that is included in death. It's talking about eternal death. This is talking about separation forever from God. Now, we know that Jesus Christ has solved that problem of eternal separation from God, but I just want to point out that there is something that sin has caused that is unsolvable by man, that if we do reject the solution to this separation, we have no other way to solve it. And therefore, we're still separated from God. And so this death, this eternal death that this is referring to, is forever in the lake of fire, unfortunately. That's what sin caused. Now, we can also see that sin can separate the believer, not positionally, but once after he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he can reject the plan of God, right? Which we call that relationally or experientially. That's your daily walk with the Lord, right? And we can fail in that area. We know that we can all get sideways when it comes to growing spiritually. Isaiah 59:2 is a good example of that. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. These are believers in Jesus Christ, God's chosen people, the Jews at this particular book. And what's happening is they weren't living in the plan of God for their life. There was a lot of sin that was happening, and what that causes between us and God is a separation. It doesn't mean they lost their salvation by any means. It just means that they've created, sin creates a distance between us and God. And essentially, we're saying when we sin, we're rebelling or we're rejecting the plan, right? And if we're going to reject, what do? God doesn't distance himself from us. We distance ourselves from God through the rejection of his plan. And this verse is pointing that out clearly. And I think it's interesting when, you know, you hear, and you know, sometimes we think, well, God always hears us. Well, if you're in sin and you don't want to have anything to do with God, why would he want to have open communications and dialogue when you don't want to have anything to do or any communications with him? He's always there. He's always waiting for us to come back to, I guess you could say, the solution, which is him. But the sin is what creates the problem. Not God. It's the volitional aspect of man to create that separation. Remember, it's really bad before salvation. That's eternal separation. But there's also a daily walk in the Christian life that can be a problem of separation when it comes to your sin. How often, how much are we maintaining our sin natures like we should? Are we confessing sin? Are we growing in the Word? Because remember, fellowship has multiple pieces, right? It's participating in the plan of God. If we're going to be in fellowship with God, you can't be in fellowship and be in sin. You can only be in fellowship with one thing. It's either in sin or with God. Fellowship is, what are you participating in your life? Are we participating? Okay, if we're going to be in fellowship with God, we need to participate in all areas. The filling of the Spirit, the consistency in the Word of God, and application. Those are the participating elements that God desires you to be in to live successfully as a believer. Or we can say, okay, I'm just going to maybe do one of those. It just doesn't work, right? Because what happens if we're not consistent, you get overtaken by the sin nature. If you don't have enough truth going in your mind with that we need, what happens is you're overtaken by the sin nature. You've got to overcome the sin nature with truth. That's the thing that we're believers. Yes, you're in Christ. Yes, you're indwelled and sealed by the Spirit. But you still have a sin nature. It doesn't make you immune to sin just because you are a believer. God has given us so much, though, to be able to deal with that sin nature. We see things differently. If you have truth in your soul, you can see your sin nature differently. You can recognize sin, and you know exactly where the solution is to that sin. So see, those things get out of whack when you're out of fellowship. When you lose the consistency, I will say you lose everything else. If it's just one day a week for you, you can't have fellowship with God. God is not a one day a week God. He's not just show up on Sunday and show my face, here I am, I'm a good Christian, all right, see you later. God's not a one day a week Christian. He's a relational God. He's a living God, and he wants to walk with you and in you. That's who God is. So when you talk about fellowship, you've got to have consistency in growth. You have to have that. You also have to have consistency in your confession of sin through the filling of the Holy Spirit, which we need desperately. So without consistency, guess what you also lose? Maintenance of your sin natures. You lose that aspect because there's not enough truth to come in and overtake the false. Remember, the world is throwing false at you. That's all it's throwing at. Radio, TV, people, everything, internet, everything, you're being bombarded with the false and the lies. So can you imagine if you stop the little bit of flow that you have of truth? Guess what's going to overtake? The lie. That's what the natural thing that happens. So anyways, be careful about what you're involved with as far as rejecting, or I would say we could call it ignoring God for an extended period of time, because this is the reality of what that looks like. We also see in 1 John 5:16 that the continued sin of the believer can lead to death. I didn't say eternal death. That verse is talking about physical death. So you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're involved deeply in sin, and you choose not to go back to God and handle that sin nature. God will take you home. It's called the sin unto death, right? What we know is the sin unto death. In other words, the sin leading to death, physical death. It's not eternal separation from God, but it is a separation from this physical life. that you could have had more time if you would have been in the plan of God versus out of the plan or God's desire for your life. So you can kind of begin to connect the dots that rejecting God through sin creates or has created, there is a separation that is created by sin. And it can be resolved through your volition. Because the solution's already there. Remember, it's Jesus Christ. So you can see how destructive sin is. And I realize that there are times when rejection between two people can be legitimate, but most of the time it's unjustified. Remember, just like the rejection of Jesus, there is no good, just reason for people to reject Jesus because there's nothing in him to be blamed or to be taken as a reason to be just for rejection. So, and because most of the time what you see between believers is there's some kind of sin underlying, under the surface, that has bubbled up and it results in rejection. Rejection of you, maybe it's us rejecting other people. But it's some type of sin that's causing the rejection. And many times what I've seen is that sin is jealousy. You see this over and over and over and over again. You see it in the workplace. You see someone that may be jealous of your promotion, jealous of your position, jealous of the people that are maybe you kind of click with. And they don't like that. So they're jealous. So what do? They start to cause that separation in the relationship. And you know, it's not just with you and them because they want to get other people involved. Now, rejection leads to separation, not just between you and the person that's involved, but they want to affect other people around you and they want them to separate away from you too. They want to exclude you and get you all by yourself. That's their goal. That's their desire, right? That's what the sin nature does. It is destructive, and so you can see this, and it's not justified, because remember, it's rooted in sin, this type of rejection that we're talking about now. Happens all the time. Friends, I've seen it. Family, I've seen it. So just as sin causes a separation between us and God, it also causes a separation between people. Sin does that. Think of a sin in your past or in someone else's past that has caused a shake in the relationship that you were in with them. Sin is always the culprit. Fellowship jolts relationships. Sin jolts fellowship. It gets it. It shakes it. It gets it out of whack. It changes relationships. It stops relationships unless it's God himself through Jesus Christ. Human relationships, though, based on sin, I mean, up, down, up, out, right? They're all over the place. So, and ultimately, sin, when we think about sin, sin is rejection. It's a form of rejection because it's a form of the rejection of God's authority. That's really what sin is. It's the rejection of God's ways, God's authority over our life. If we're going to sin, that's a small, maybe one decision that we make, but that one decision is a rebelling from what God's word wants us to do. So if it's away from out of God's plan and ways, it's essentially rejecting God's truth, right? It's God's truth. So we had the first half of the problem back in the positional rejection. Remember, for the wages of sin is death. What we're all born into, this sin. We're all born into sin. Of course, you know the verse. There's always a contrast to most verses. And here's this one. There's the contrast. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what's interesting about this is you see two different kinds of life. You see a eternal death in hell and you see an eternal life with Jesus Christ. There's a contrast in this verse. This isn't talking about a physical death and an eternal life. This is eternal death in the lake of fire and eternal life in Christ Jesus. And what's interesting is that they're both put in here, and not only are they both put in here, but we're given an option. But what if I don't know what in Christ Jesus our Lord means? Well, I see there's a free gift. I see that the free gift is eternal life, but it's in Christ Jesus our Lord. What if I don't know what that means? Well, you as believers know what that means, but what if other people aren't sure about what that means? Well, we have a lot of big, good verses that tell us more about that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, who's Him, Jesus Christ, the Son, shall not perish but have eternal life. More insight into what being in Christ means. Faith. Belief. This is what we're talking about here. So, notice that eternal death is mentioned here as well. Eternal death is compared to eternal life. It's in that word, perish. Perish. If you believe in Him, you remove that eternal separation because you will not perish in the lake of fire. You will live forever. Of course, if you really want to get down to the details, we live forever no matter what. But the way this is describing it is we're describing it as a life that is with Christ versus not. And that's considered perishing when you look at that, because honestly, eternal separation from God is never viewed as a good thing, especially when it's in a place like hell. And what I thought was really nice about all this, what God has done, is all of these things are shown to us, eternal life, eternal death, and they're all focused around belief. Belief. Your volition. It goes right back to your volition. So that separation that sin has created, God has solved, and He's given us the free will to choose, do you want to close that gap? Do you want to close that separation that sin has created? If you do, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Then you are in Christ. In other words, now you're in a relationship. You're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. I always like to read a little bit past, because sometimes we forget the context of John 3:16. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. 18. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Good set of verses. Notice that this verse is saying to judge people's sin was not God's priority. To judge people was not God's priority. Or to judge individual people's sin was not God's priority. He's talking about collectively, the world. That's what His priority was. He's talking about redemption in this verse, is what we're talking about. Freedom. So he wasn't talking about judging the world. He's talking about saving the world. That's the difference a lot of people miss. He didn't come here to judge us of our sin. He said, okay, they sinned, but I'm going to take the judgment. I'm going to take that sacrifice. It wasn't his sin, right? And what that tells us as well is that this is something that is complete. It's finished. As Jesus Christ said, there's nothing left to do. That's why there's no works that can be included when it comes to being saved as an individual. But God solved that problem. He said, all you have to do is believe. That's it. Believe on the one who provided it, right? So this verse points out, of course, again, that if a person does not believe, what does it say? Judgment. Judgment. Notice that judgment is something that is lingering with rejection. With that separation, there's judgment there as well. There's always judgment when you have sin. There has to be. That's how God's justice works. He's a perfect judge. And when we stand before the judge, any sin before the judge of God is guilty. Therefore, we enter into guilt as sinners. We enter into the guilt of sin. So guess what? When you reject the one who provided the solution to that guilt for sin, because he paid for all the sin, when you reject that, guess what you're left with? Guilt. You can't remove the guilt unless you place it on somewhere in someone else. And the only place you can place it is in Jesus Christ. That's it. Why? Because he was perfect. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve to take on those sins. But that's what satisfied God's justice. He had to be perfect in order for God to say, okay, this counts. This sacrifice counts before me, and it can be provided to sinners. That's how God can deal with us as sinners, through Jesus Christ. Because sin carries guilt with it. That guilt had to be taken care of, and it was, by Jesus Christ. But it wasn't his sin. It wasn't his sin. It was his sacrifice that he chose to die for in our place. That's grace. That is grace. Ultimately, we don't deserve it. And you wonder, how can this be possible? Because the solution has been provided. It's been given to the human race. And when a person rejects that judgment, that's what we're talking about. They reject the judgment of sins on their behalf, the judgment still remains. And that's unfortunate, because we know that that judgment that this verse is talking about means to be sentenced in the lake of fire forever. Guess what? Forever is a long time. Forever is forever. You know, we can't even really think about what that means when you think about the lake of fire. I think about fire getting burned. That hurts. You know, they're going to be in a specific body that's designed to be burned forever, and they're not going to die, but they're going to stay alive, and they're going to be in pain and burning. Not a good place. But is that God's fault? No, it's not. Because he gives everyone an option. He tells them, I loved you before you loved me. God doesn't appreciate when someone rejects him, because he knows that they're rejecting the only solution that has been provided. The only one. That's it. So when you reject the only sacrifice, then you must be eternally judged by the justice of God, unfortunately. So the rejection of man in the garden created the separation. That's what created that separation. And it's interesting when you think about this. The sin, the first rejection, created that separation, but it also created the need for a solution, right? If you don't need to be saved, what's the point of being saved? Well, we all need a Savior, thank God. It's funny how God turns a cursing into a blessing. He turned a cursing, a rejection of him, and now a separation into a blessing to save us. And now here we are all in Christ, and we're going to live forever with each other and be able to see each other forever with Christ, with God. That's what he did from our mistake. That's what God does all the time. If you're paying attention, you'll notice that God has taken your old cursings and your sins and the things that are bad and turns them into blessings. If you stay in the plan of God, he will turn every single thing in your life that was bad into a good thing. How does he do that? I have no idea. But he does it. So you can't be saved if you don't have a need to be saved. But we all have a need. We all have a need. Everybody has a need to be saved. Everybody. Look at John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, to reject Jesus Christ is to not believe on him, or in him, right? To not believe in him. And you can see the results of this. And that's how dangerous the free will of man can be. Just right there. You know, we make decisions, this and that, but this is talking about your eternal destiny, your future, where you're going to spend forever. That's what God has given you the option to choose. And even though this rejection is not directly toward you, if you're talking to someone about the gospel and they reject this, it's not directly toward the communicator of the gospel, it is something that we take personal. Not in a negative way, but in a way that is the same way that God feels about your soul. Because, you know, one of the things that you do as a growing believer is you begin to love unconditionally. And so when you see someone that you love reject the solution that, you know, solved the problem that they're in, the predicament that they're in, they're rejecting the very solution that they have in their life, you know, that hurts because you unconditionally are here to love the human race because Jesus Christ didn't die for some. He died for all. He died for all. Even the bad guys. He died for the bad guys too. He died for the guys that don't seem to make any sense as to why they should go to heaven. He even died for those too. Just because people aren't born again and they don't see things the way you do, doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a change of heart and realize who Jesus Christ was and is. You know, there's a lot of things that are done differently in people's life, and you can see that. You know, you could see someone as an unbeliever, the way they talk, and you can see someone as a believer. Even sometimes you get to see it in some, movie stars every once in a while, where in the back here they would speak completely different about things, and now they're different, right? Because they see life differently. They're saved. They are saved. So, rejection. There is a personal element to it, but that comes with your service to God. Because as you begin to grow more and more, guess what? Your desires become God's desires. Your will becomes God's will. Therefore, you desire that everyone be saved. I mean, that's one of the purposes that you're here, to present the gospel message, to let people know about where we are. And, you know, now we need it more than ever. We have a lot of people that are angry for just because. A lot of people that are frustrated and searching for happiness because their sin nature tells them that that's what it has to offer them, is frustration and a lack of happiness that the world can't give them. The only place you're going to find happiness is in Jesus Christ. That's it. In a relationship, in your personal life, any kind of happiness, only true lasting happiness is going to be found in eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's it. The spiritual life is given to you. Don't look at eternal life as something in the future. Eternal life started when you became a believer. At least the heaven side of it, you're a citizen of heaven now. You're just residing on the earth. Because when you're done with this life, guess what? You look at this percentage versus that percentage. This is a tiny, tiny piece. You're just passing through here. So your goals and desires become God's desires and goals. That's what we do, right? And that's exciting to think about because those same desires and goals not only benefit the human race, but they benefit you as a believer. They benefit other people around you, and they glorify God. That's what God desires of us to do as believers. And guess what those works are considered? Good works, divine good, but they are without blame according to Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. Look at the contrast there. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, when you begin to do things that are not from your own, do things that aren't from your sin nature, you begin to prove what the will of God is. And that is things that are good, acceptable, and perfect. They're from Him. They have to be. They can only be good, acceptable, and perfect. Right? That's it. That's the only option there. Because God is good, acceptable, and perfect. So, and I think that when we do prove the will of God, what does it allow us to do? It allows us to go from someone that was a rejecter to someone that accepts. To someone that accepts. You may not realize it, but you went from being a rejecter of people because of the way they looked, because of the way they acted, because of the way they talked to you, because of the way the things they did to you. And as you grow more spiritually, those things become less and less and less and less. It doesn't matter because they have a sin nature. You begin to say, hey, we all have a sin nature, and I would be acting just like them if I was in the position they were without God, without a spiritual life. You take things into consideration, they become less of an issue. Why? Because that's what unconditional love does. It doesn't look at the surface. It looks at the internal. It looks directly to God's Word and says, okay, this is what matters in my life. Not what they told me or what they did. The fact is that Jesus Christ loved us, and look what we did. Look what they did when He went to the cross. I mean, if we want an example about reacting to someone that's doing something negative, look at Jesus Christ. He had every reason in the world to react, to stop, to do something different, to turn around and say, guys, you know what? These sin natures are too crazy for me. I'm out of here. He did. He should have. We would have. But He didn't. He's like, nope. I got a mission. I'm on a mission. And I'm going to go right to that cross, and I'm going to solve your problem of all that rejection. I'm going to solve it and that separation because I not only love you, but I want to be with you and live with you forever. And that's what He did. He did that. You know, it does take a lot of work to maintain a position of rejection. I'm talking about a rejection that's from the sin nature. It takes a lot of work to maintain that. You know, we all know people that are rejecting you right now. I know people that are rejecting me. They'll reject me for the rest of my life. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of internal spiritual work to hold on to that stance of rejection, and that's destructive to their own person. It's destructive internally because it's rooted in the sin nature. It's rooted in something that's not good. And therefore, they're destroying themselves by holding on to that rejection. That's a job in itself to maintain those types of positions. And you have to be free of those. If you're ever going to be, you know, move forward in the plan of God, you've got to be free of those types of sins that just hold you down. Because that's what they do. They hold you down. Rejection. Your sin natures are working overtime. And what happens is the justice of God is continually working you over. Continually working you over. So not only are you your own worst enemy in rejecting someone based on jealousy, maybe someone likes you better than, you know, likes them better than they like you. So now you're jealous and you're rejecting them. It takes work. You got to take the other person into account. Don't get frustrated and upset because you're rejected by someone that's tearing their self up spiritually. Think about them. Think about how you don't have to be a stumbling block to the person rejecting you. That's what we need to be thinking about. Not about rejecting them back. That does not solve the problem at all. Don't forget, they're going to get other people on board. That's what the sin nature does. Unconditional love doesn't take any of that into account. It takes their spiritual condition into account and the fact that it's broke. It's broke. Maybe a believer, maybe an unbeliever. It doesn't matter. If they're stuck in that state as a believer, they're stuck in the sin is what they are. And that's never a good thing, right? The only thing the sin nature knows how to do successfully is tear down and destroy people. That's it. And that includes themselves. It goes above and beyond, and it thinks it's doing some tearing down on the other side of the fence when it's doing it right here inside their own backyard, in their own house, you could say. And we should all be able to see that. That's not fun. You know, holding on to something like that, the rejection, think about the person that's maintaining that. They are frustrated. They're upset. they're stressed out trying to hold those, you know, those positions. That is so destructive. You can't make that decision and just hold on to that, because eventually, guess what? Sin unto death. Sin unto death. God doesn't just tell us things just to tell us those things. He tells us those things to be aware that this could happen if I don't deal with the sin as God has wanted me to deal with it. So we need to ask ourselves, what am I thinking and doing, and is that glorifying God? Would He approve of my motives? There's a good question to ask. I would say anybody that's rejecting any friend, any coworker, any person, would God approve of the reason you're rejecting? I don't know. Maybe. But if not, maybe you should change your mind. Maybe you should realize that your self-righteousness has gone over the deep end, and it's not that the person did anything. It's the fact that we have a spiritual problem, and we need to overcome our own pride and our own self-righteousness. Nothing wrong with that, because guess what? We all have pride. We all have self-righteousness. We just have to learn how to control through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls, remember? The filling? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's why I said earlier, being occupied with Christ is that problem solver in this situation. Because guess what that is? It's love for Jesus Christ. It's love for Jesus Christ. And guess what? When you're in that relationship, do you think He'll ever reject you? No. Ever. You've been accepted, and you'll always be accepted because you're a child now of God. And there's a lot of application to be made on that side if you're willing to make it. And not just making the application when you look at the rejection coming at you. Because guess what? There's no application to be made when your eyes are on the rejection. All there is when your eyes are on the rejection is a failed test that is going to continually happen in your life. And we don't want to keep failing the test. If you're going to keep failing the test, what are you doing? You know, I see people growing spiritually, and we keep failing tests, and the same test. It's like there's a holdup somewhere. We have to be able to recognize the holdup, because we're doing something wrong if we're not allowing God to take care of the problem. There's a holdup, and usually the problem is us. Actually, it's always us, right? We know that. We're just not making the right decisions. We're not giving the problem to God. We're not applying His word, and we're not looking to Him for acceptance. We're looking to people for acceptance. That's what we're doing. That's why I went through that whole thing about, you know, looking for people versus God for solutions. Where do you put your priorities on? Yes, people are important, but God is more important. That shouldn't be, I don't think that's a secret. May have offended some people, but I don't know. You can try to come tell me otherwise, but pretty sure I got that one right. So, what this means is that your submission to Him is daily and consistent if you love and are occupied with your Savior. Your consistency in what you're doing right now doesn't just stop here. It can't stop here. It has to continue. Because guess what we have a lot of today? A lot of rejection in the world. We have a lot of rejection. We have a lot of excluding happening. We have a lot of setting people in certain places in our society, and this is the way it is. They're this way, they're this way, they're this way. Jesus Christ breaks all barriers. He just cuts right through every single barrier. And that's what makes you unique. Because you can go anywhere and cut through these barriers that people see and they identify as a barrier, and it stops them in their tracks. You can't communicate the gospel if you see in color. You can't do it. Unconditional love sees black and white. Everything's black and white. It doesn't matter. You turn on the TV, it's black and white. It's great. Great show, right? You don't need color. It's all the same to God. It's a soul. So that's daily. It has to be daily. 1 Peter 1:8. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being upset because of rejection. We're talking about looking at this verse and saying, this is what I have available to me. You don't see Him, but you love Him. That's the attitude we all need, and that's what we're growing towards, whether you think so or not. Because the God that I talk about to you about every Wednesday and Sunday is the one that we come to love, because He is a perfect and righteous and just and loving God. And look what comes out of that. Happiness, joy, inexpressible and full of glory. That's awesome. You know, that's the kind of thing that you want to have every day, and we do. We can. We are the ones that choose to take happiness and throw it. That's on us. That's not on God. He offers us happiness in relationships or not in relationships. If you're by yourself, you say, oh, I can't have happiness because I don't have this person or that person. Nope. It's not true. God offers us happiness in Him. Look what it says. Believe in Him. Love Him. That's what it's talking about. And I think when we do this, when we know this and we believe this and we are applying this, guess what? You will see rejection in a different light. You realize where the problem is. You realize where what's needed, which is 9 times out of 10 prayer. You don't need to keep dabbling in the rejection and making it worse. You need to take a step back sometimes and pray, because you have what you need. Now they need what you have, which is Jesus Christ, a relationship. Just because someone's stuck in sin doesn't mean you need to hate them. There's no sense in hating someone just because they're trapped in their self-righteous sins of jealousy or bitterness or frustration. You know, we're no different from them, except that we've decided to take the road of God's grace. That's it. Now they need to decide to take the road of God's grace. So I think I'll stop there. I know I've talked quite a bit, but this is the kind of attitude that we need. And today we need it more than ever, because there's no joy, there's no happiness. The only place that you ever see joy or happiness is in things that are temporary. And what that creates is a further distance from God in people's lives. So we need to direct them to the source of happiness, the one where it doesn't go away and it's always there. If you ever get down and you ever think, oh, you know, poor me, it's all over with, just think about this. Read this verse. This is the kind of things that we have available to us that God offers us. He says, here, take it. Not only is it in my word, I've given it to you to see, but I'm in you. I'm walking with you, right? So let's take we'll stop there, and then we'll come back Wednesday and we'll keep going, and we'll hopefully look on the brighter side of rejection as we move forward. Anyways, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Word. Thank You for Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Thank You for the gift of that sacrifice to be given to us and to be a package deal, just to simply believe in Him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. We know that's something that's unheard of today, but we also know it's something that everyone needs. And we just pray that we can make that known to the world. We pray that we can communicate Your word and not keep the things that we learn. And we know within the walls of this church it's not meant to be that way. And we just pray that we affect those around us in our community. I ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.